Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord of our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that God made Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Does your church have an evangelism program? This is Wretched Radio. Reality, most churches don't. There are few. They are the exception these days. I think that every good evangelical church, of course, because that's actually our name, evangelical, we're to be sharing the good news, would put an emphasis on sharing the gospel. But is there any sort of directed, concerted effort in your church to reach the lost? Joining us in studio, Andrew, I'm having a hard time talking. I mean, not just my throat.
I was going to say, is there something wrong with your throat there? Yeah.
Yeah, I got a cough drop. And it's real. And now it's creating too much spit and I'm drooling.
You get the clicking noise when it hits your teeth and that sort
of
stuff.
And I got the clicking noise. My apologies for that. I'm not going to whimper. Well, anymore.
Much.
Yeah, much. It went on for days reading this book. It's called Go Serve Your King by one Todd Frielius, forward by Dr. Erwin Lutzer. It's available tomorrow for pre-sale. Would you please consider participating in this book campaign? I hope it will bless you. It would also be marvelous if there were oodles of pre-sales, because it really does help with the distribution and where these books get placed. The more books that are purchased in advance, the higher profile they get at Barnes & Noble, Walmart, airports. Oh, those airport book sales. I'm telling you, that's a great... Well, everybody's in the airport, and they're already a little jittery anyway. Have you noticed? You know what all the top bestsellers are in the airports these days, Andrew?
Some of them have titles that you can't say on radio.
Oh, well,
I've seen a couple of those.
There's that where they can be a little bit of that. But the top booksellers are all about you.
It's all self-help stuff.
Oh, self-help. I mean, you know, getting over and relationships. And this is how you need to ghost people. So if and you will participate in pre-sales, it'll help us to compete with those folks. It's called Go Serve Your King. And there will also be an audio version once we finally get through that beating of a process. Andrew Walkington is from Open Air Campaigners, oac.org.au, joining us in studio, because part of what you do, Andrew, is you travel around to churches encouraging them to get on it.
Yeah.
Start evangelizing. In your experience doing this for 20 some years, by the way, I do have to disagree with you on something you said earlier. You described your demographic is young white guys.
I'm not young anymore.
You're not that young anymore.
I got a bit of gray in there.
Wake up. How many kids do you have?
We got 4 kids.
See, by dad, you can't be young when you got 4 kids. You're just old. That's
funny,
it.
Yeah, funny thing is all the uni students that I'm now meeting, I'm old enough to be their dad.
Uh-huh.
That hurts.
But you know what I've noticed? It doesn't matter.
No,
they don't care what age you are.
I actually think they enjoy hanging out with a guy who's considerably older and taking an interest in them.
I firmly agree with that. Absolutely. They want somebody to care.
Yeah.
And I think also, they might not articulate it, but I think they get a sense of, okay, look, the guy's got shoes on, he's got a haircut, he's kind of made it, and I'm struggling to make it. So if you can help me to make it and get to like where you are, I think they're grateful. They're looking for that so desperately at universities.
Yeah, I reckon.
Because so. they are lacking the guidance that they need, and they've got voices clamoring all over the place telling them to be, you know, gamers and waste their lives doing nothing and, you know, watch pornography. They're looking for something, and it is very effective to go to the university. But if you can't go to uni, there are other places that you can go to evangelize, like the people you work with, the people that you live next to, your own family, for that matter. You don't have to be an evangelist like you are, but you go to churches over the years, percentage. How many churches have any sort of formal evangelism focus?
Yeah, that wouldn't be many. Whatever it is, it's low. I think a lot of churches, as you said, they know they should be getting people to share the gospel. And if you ask them, they say, are you passionate about gospel ministry? They say, yes, absolutely. How many of them have taken the steps to put a program in place? Next to none. And it's usually only the places where you've got a pastor or an elder at the top of the tree who has a real passion for it themselves. I think one of the biggest challenges a lot of churches face, and this, look, more in Australia, I can speak for that more than I can for here. Most guys who go through seminary, train to be pastors, they don't know how to do the gospel ministry to non-Christians. They speak amazing, fluent Christianese. They know their theology. They know how to pastorally care for people. But if you ask them how to share the gospel with someone that's unchurched, they really don't know how to do it themselves.
That's a massive problem, because if they can't do it one-on-one, you know what that means. They're not doing it from the pulpit. This is one of my really major pet peeves, is that we've so forsaken the necessity of the accuracy of the proclamation of the gospel, that we use Christianese and we think that we're talking about the gospel, and we are talking about it, but we're not presenting the gospel. And if you listen carefully, most, I don't know if it's 51% or 90%, but most gospel presentations, if somebody were uninitiated into Christianity, they would have absolutely no idea what the gospel is when they're done.
100%. And I mean, you think about all the words that we use that really they're jargon. I stopped a few young people last night when we were out having dinner, and these kids knew all the language, all the phraseology. Most of them didn't know what it meant. And so you think of the average unchurched person, you use a word like faith, and what they equate that with is blind faith. Faith to them means what you did is you're believing something that is irrational. So you've disconnected your brain at the door, walked in, you're believing irrational things. And of course, that's not how we'd understand faith at all. We believe faith is I have good, confident reason to believe something is true that I can't see with my own eyes.
Well, it's that type of person who's able to talk about it. They might be saved. They might be saved, but there's an equally or greater possibility they might not. Because if you can't articulate the very basics of the Christian faith, something is wrong. So, just for yucks, Andrew, if you're talking to somebody, and you're going to get it when you're down here in the South, you're going to get a lot of those folks. And they talk all around it, and it's like, well, no, that's not really the gospel. Because one of my favorite questions here is when somebody says they go to church, they're a Christian. Cool. You can ask somebody here. You try me on this. Hi, are you a Christian? That is not offensive here. Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I am, or I went to church. Cool. Could you tell me what the gospel is? And inevitably, what will have to happen is I will talk through it and explain God's character and nature, how we violated his laws, what we deserve, what Jesus has done, what our response should be. And they go, that's it. Where do you classify that person?
Yeah, that's concerning, isn't it? I ask a similar question. So I don't ask, what is the gospel? I use the old evangelism explosion. If you died, you stood before God today and he said, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And the answers are almost always wrong. But when you do get someone that's had that church background, and they say, well, I can only go to heaven because Jesus died for me. My instinct is then to keep digging and, well, what do you mean by that? And that's suddenly they've got this cliche at the surface. It's the right answer. But they've got no idea what that means. They don't understand why Jesus had to die. Why was it necessary? How does Jesus's death actually deal with the problem of my sin if they know and understand what sin is? And so often people that are churched, they know the right language, but they don't know how to send it any deeper than that. They don't actually understand what those things mean.
So again, what do you do with that person?
I'm going to keep digging. I'm going to keep asking questions until I hit a point where either it becomes really clear they've missed the point, and I'm going to then evangelize them. I'm going to go, okay, that's not quite what that means. Let me help you understand it. I'm going to walk them back through it. Or I'm going to hit the point where it goes, okay, actually underneath you have got this. Maybe you can't articulate it very well, but okay, maybe I think genuinely that you are probably a Christian, in which case I'm going to start asking questions. Mm-hmm. Where do you go to church? How much are you reading your Bible? What is the Christian life?
Diagnostic questions.
Diagnostic stuff. I've had the conviction for a long time that I will never, ever stop when someone tells me they are a Christian, even if they give me an initial few right answers. I'm going to keep digging, even to the risk of annoying them.
But a real Christian won't get annoyed.
They really shouldn't get annoyed. I've had a couple of genuine Christians kind of go, look, I really don't know why you're attacking my beliefs here, and it turned out they really were Christians. They just the approach they found a bit. I said, well, look,
so it's you.
Yeah.
You're the problem, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm the problem. I usually am, but that's another story. I'll open up Matthew 7 and say, well, this is why I'm asking the question. Jesus says there's going to be plenty of people on that day to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this, this, this in your name? And he says, I never knew you. I would rather spend these extra few minutes with you. Just let's go a little deeper. Let's examine. Because you know what? The worst thing in the world would be on that day, your eyes meet mine. I stopped checking because you gave me the right Christian answers, but it turns out you had it wrong and you find yourself on the other side of God's judgment.
Well, get ready, because that is going to be the majority of your experience while you're in the South. Because people are initiated, they're familiar with Christianity, but so often, and by the way, Jimmy, do you know what church I'm thinking about right now in the midst of this conversation with Andrew Walkington? When you ask people if they know the gospel and they fumble and bumble?
Yeah.
What church am I thinking of?
Is it North?
And which way does it point?
Well, you just said it. It points.
I don't want to use the name of it. That would be so awkward. Andrew Walkington of Open Air Campaigners, oac.org.au. You can learn more about the ministry. They are located, of course, in Australia, but also you got some plants. You got something going on here in the States
because
you're going to be visiting them. oac.org.au. When we return with our guest, Andrew Walkington, how you can start an evangelistic conversation. Next on Wretched Radio.
Remember when the craziest cultural ideas stayed in dystopian novels? Yeah, those days are over. We're living in the brave new world now, and it showed up faster than anyone expected it to. Social media didn't just change how we communicate, it changed how everyone thinks. And if you're not ready as a Christian to defend what you believe about gender and sexuality and race and entertainment and a dozen other hot-button issues, you're gonna get steamrolled. Wretched Worldview 2 picks up where the first one left off. Todd Friel and Dr. Nathan Boosnitz tackled 22 more issues through a biblical lens: critical race theory, modesty, persecution, environmentalism, secular entertainment, and more. The stuff you're actually seeing in the headlines and hearing at your dinner table. Because the Christian worldview is under assault and, I don't know, isn't going to cut it anymore. Wretched Worldview 2 is available in streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, here's something that I've noticed, and maybe you have too, but it's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. As Sunday is Sunday, work is work, parenting is parenting, and somewhere in there you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast Integrated is so incredibly important. Dr. Krotz is a pastor, he's an author, he's a biblical counselor, and he's a Fortis Institute fellow and the host of Integrated. And he is helping people see how Scripture speaks to every part of their life. Not just the spiritual stuff, but the practical, everyday, how do I actually live this stuff out stuff. And if what we're doing at Fortis Institute has been a source of encouragement for you, I want to ask you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
History is full of kings, and every single one of those kings, well, they're gone now, except one. One king continues to reign, and Exalt the King with Todd Friel is a weekly podcast about that very king. Todd is the pastor of Alpharetta Bible Church, and every single week, he takes a passage of Scripture and he preaches it the way it was meant to be preached, until you can see Jesus in all of his beauty and glory. And Todd will be the first to tell you, he's after more than just your attention. He preaches to stir your heart, because a king this glorious deserves to be loved, and a heart that loves him follows him gladly. So come and hear for yourself what happens when the Word of God lifts Christ up where he belongs. Exalt the King with Todd Friel. There's a new episode every week wherever you listen to podcasts or on fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Seed of the Woman. Immediately after the fall of man, God promised a Savior who would be the offspring of the woman. Jesus was born of a virgin, a divine Savior born of the seed of woman.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How to start an evangelistic conversation. This is Wretched Radio. Andrew Walkington of oac.org.au. That's right. He's from Australia. I put an end at the end because you guys kind of do a little bit, which is weird because let me ask you, that organ that's on the left side of your chest that moves blood through your body in Australia, why doesn't it have the letter R in it?
The heart.
Exactly. It's got an R. Rev your R's, Andrew. You've got an R in Andrew.
Yeah. Managed to find one there.
You hit that.
Yeah.
But when it comes to other R's, you Australians, you kind of, it's a softer British sort of thing.
Yeah. Look, and mine's probably not as pronounced as other Australian accents, partly because of what I do is communication. I've just trained myself to be pretty clear. But yeah, you definitely meet some Australians. They sound a whole lot like this, and they kind of got a bit of an Aussie drawl going. It's pretty pronounced.
Now, is that particular accent, which you nailed, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Is that one where you would say those people are a particular class of Australian? They're the less educated?
Not necessarily less educated. You definitely have regional accents like you do here in the States.
Yeah.
So you get far north up in northern Queensland where I'm from. They get really kind of slow and drawly, sort of the vowels lengthen and that sort of stuff. You get down to Adelaide in South Australia, they sound quite British.
Oh, is that right?
So yeah, so it's you sort of get and basically move more country, people get more drawly.
Yeah,
more city tend to be a little bit
in the south here. There are oodles of accents. I mean, there's a wide variety, and the one that I think is prettiest, I think, is from South Carolina. And even though Charles Stanley was not from South Carolina, he had that South Carolina.
I know the one.
Oh man, it's pretty. It's genteel, and it's lilty, and he just had that charming sound to it.
It is. You consume enough American media when you're living in Australia, you can sort of pick the accents a little bit if you know what you're listening for.
All right, so your accent is genuinely Australian because that is where you're from. That is where your ministry is. You hit the streets. You do well. You don't do open air preaching anymore because they'll shoot you. No, they can't. Well, you don't have guns there either, do you?
No, they're trying to, and the ones we do have, they're trying to take away because people misuse them. And so we've got a very left-leaning government there at the moment, which means that Christian freedoms,
which includes gun ownership.
Yeah, well, let's look, again, we don't look at that quite the same in Australia as you do here, but that's,
Well, you need to read your Bibles more because that's a part of being a Christian. You have to own a gun. Trust me on this one. Let's talk about conversation starters because I think that's oftentimes people's greatest, how do I get started with a conversation? First of all, do I even need one?
Not necessarily. I think are we talking like cold contact conversation starters?
I'm sitting in a plane.
All right. I mean, like I guess I have the easiest cheat on that one because people say, where are you going? What are you doing? What do you do for a living? And I go, oh, I'm in Christian ministry. It's kind of, hey, there's an open door for you.
I agree.
You and I have got it really easy being in ministry like that. But I think ultimately, if you get to chat to someone on a plane, if they haven't already stuck their earbuds in and gone into their own little zone, you know, just to get, you get chit-chatting with someone, again, if you ask them questions about who are you, what do you do, just learn about them a little bit, sooner or later, you're going to find something in there that leads to a spiritual question.
But again, it's emphasizing though, ask a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
Hey, where are you headed? What do you do? Oh, family? Tell me about the kids.
Yeah.
Here's my favorite. Do you go to church?
Yeah.
You've got to ultimately get there.
Yeah, I mean, in Australia, that one's probably going to
work.
It's going to be a lower percentage.
But we don't care about Australia because we're America.
Yeah,
and we don't care about any other country.
Are there other countries?
It works here.
I bet it works.
It does work here.
Yeah,
because we've got 350,000 churches in America.
Yeah, look, I've heard you do it, you know, on the Witness Wednesdays and stuff like that, you know. Oh, you're from the Bible Belt. Are you a Bible Belter?
Yeah.
I used that yesterday. I thought it was great. It was easy.
Yeah. You're there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't need one, but ultimately you do need to. If you hear something, you can pull it out. You probably in an airplane don't want to say, so if the plane crashed, what would happen to you?
Yeah, that's a little dark
one. But you do need to, at some point, be able to think of something to ask. and you simply have to shatter it. You need to break the wall and walk through the door.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think to ask people just a basic question about, hey, look, I'm just really curious. This is something I've been thinking lately. I'm really curious what you believe about the afterlife, the existence. Do you have a religious background? It's something that's really important in my life. I'm just curious as to what you believe. But you got to stay there. So what you can't do is throw a question like that and then suddenly go into preacher mode. And it's like this is a pivot question that I'm going to use to preach to you. No, no, you ask the question and you stay there. And you stay there for a while, because there's a disingenuous sort of aspect if I say, I'm going to throw you this right-hand turn question only because I want to get onto my agenda. People smell that. They don't like it. You don't like that when someone does it to you. So ask the question and genuinely keep following it up. Learn who this person is. Learn what they believe. Learn why they believe it. If for no other reason, well, there's two big reasons. One, you want to know what they believe. But two, how much does it actually show love to the person that you're willing to spend the time focusing on them and not just fishing for information, but genuinely getting to know them and their world?
And I would also say that, actually, I could sharpen that up for you.
Please do.
A little bit, yeah. What you need to do is you need to be on your little screen in the chair in front of you that tells you where you're at in the flight. Time it so you've got about 30 minutes before the descent. So then you can ask them questions about themselves for 30 minutes. Then on the descent, you turn the table, share the gospel with them. The plane lands and you don't have any awkward moments. See?
Yeah, look.
Timing is everything. However, what I would say though, seriously, is that by asking them those questions, let's just say you don't even get to the gospel. I think this concerns a lot of people. If they shut me down, I didn't share the gospel. Well, properly, you didn't share the gospel because they shut you down. But that doesn't mean the Lord won't use even that question to get them thinking.
Yeah. I mean, how many times do you hear the testimony of someone who had a question that provoked them? They went away and thought about it. It just got stuck in their head. And eventually it gets to the point where they go, I got to go find someone who can give me answers. They go seek out a local church. The pastor shares the gospel with them and they get saved. I mean, that's kind of my journey. I got someone put a thought in my head that went around for weeks and weeks and weeks till I eventually went and found a church.
But you've got OCD, so that's different.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's a little bit of something going on there, but that sort of stuff, it does. You're right.
My point is, it shouldn't give us license to be lazy. It's like, well, I just asked him a question. That's enough.
I've done my job, yeah.
Greg Kokel, I love his stuff. He and I have a disagreement because he says, you just want to put a pebble in their shoe. And I say, well, you put a pebble in their shoe, all they do is get a sore foot. You got to do everything you can to get as much information as you can. But if you can't, don't feel like it was a flop.
If you didn't get to the gospel with them, but you have proverbially put the pebble in their shoe in the process, that's still something.
I agree.
But look for that extra opportunity to then explain what you believe. And oftentimes what it's going to come around to is, as you've asked them questions about their worldview, and we know because Christianity is the true answer to these things, their worldview is inevitably going to collide into itself. When it collides with itself and they start scratching their head and go, yeah, actually, I don't know why that I believe that. And they look back to you and go, well, do you have this figured out?
I like that so much more than presuppositional apologetics, because presuppositional apologetics just angers people. But you, just by asking questions, they tie themselves in a knot. You don't have to tie them in a knot. All right, what was the thing you said yesterday at Alpharetta Bible Church about humility? That there's a difference between
humility and being humiliated.
Yeah.
So this is particularly a trap for those people who get into the world of apologetics. They learn to run rhetorical rings around the person that they're speaking to. And all that does for the other person is make them feel silly because they can't best you in the rhetorical debate. And they end up kind of getting jaded against you. These Christians, all they like to do is make you feel silly. And God gives grace to the humble. It doesn't say God gives grace to the humiliated. Humbling myself is confronted with truth, I bring myself low. Humiliated is someone else squashes me low. Both result in us being taken low, but with a totally different attitude to it. And humiliating a person, I've been doing this a long time. You'd be hard pressed to find an apologetic question that I have not encountered before and don't know how to answer.
There's only about five anyway.
There's a handful of really big ones. But the fact is that there's, especially working with uni students who are 20 something years younger than me, I can run them in circles. And it wouldn't help.
But that's not the goal.
It wouldn't help them in the slightest to do that, because all they do is they walk away going, wow, that smarty bum Christian, he knows everything. And But instead, I'll use just enough apologetics that I can show that there's something robust about what I believe and why I believe it. Then I want to move to the gospel.
It's a tool. Nobody gets saved from apologetics. They get saved from the gospel. But we use apologetics to defend when they ask for the reason of the hope that lies within us. Andrew Walkington, OAC. It used to be called Open Air Campaigners. We don't understand why. We're going to get a committee to research that. In the meantime, you can find him and his organization, oac.org.au. Well, we can in America. Let's take advantage of the laws that we have to make disciples. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.